Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
Number three category of Christians in the churches. A person that is born again, who is not living in sin, but still eats the benefit of sin. He's born again, he's no longer committing sin, but he's still eating the benefit of sin. For instance, using a certificate that is bought. When you didn't know God, you had to pay for a certificate. You got it. You have used it for 10 years, for 15 years. And now that you are born again, you are still using it. That's another category of Christians. Amen. You took a woman to live with when you didn't know Christ. For 10 years you have lived together, and now that you are born again, you are still living together. You don't consider going to formalize the marriage. Still enjoying the benefit of sin. Use your son, your wife, your husband to do money rituals, and you were able to build a big house and live. Get a good car. And 10 years after you are born again, you are still driving the car and still living in the house. Amen. That's a category of persons. I know sometimes people are born again, but they find it very difficult to totally and completely separate themselves. It's just like what happened to Moses in Exodus chapter 4. God met Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and told Moses all the beautiful things any ear would like to hear. Moses, my children are suffering in Egypt. I'm sending you. Moses said, I'm a stammerer. God said, don't worry, I'm going to send you. Moses said, they will kill me. God said, don't worry, I'm going to do a great miracle. In fact, what do you have in your hand? Moses says, it's the rod. Put it on the ground. It became a snake. God said, pick it up. And Moses picked it up. And Moses was full of confidence. And God said, now you can go. Get my people. When you go there, tell Pharaoh that I am, said you should come. And if Pharaoh refuses to let them go, do this, do that. And you know, Moses was excited. And packed all his luggage, getting ready to travel to Egypt. And then on his way out of the house, the Bible says God stood at the door. Now, the same God that told him go to Egypt, on the way with his luggage, imagine yourself, you are about setting out to obey God, and God stood by the door to kill Moses. What are we talking about? The Bible says he stood by the door to kill Moses. And immediately Moses knew that it was because he had not circumcised his son. And Moses took a sharp object and pierced the foreskin of the boy. And his wife became very angry. You know, why Moses didn't circumcise the boy is because he married an Ethiopian. The wife of Moses was not a Jew. So she didn't believe in circumcision. So she was able to convince Moses against it. Why do we need to cut the boy and put the boy through pain? But that was a perpetual covenant that God made to Abraham, by extension his descendant, that every male child on the eighth day must, the Bible said, must be circumcised. Moses, you have known God so much, you were circumcised. But because of the emotions of your wife, you have decided to let it go. And God is watching at Moses. And Moses now wants to go and do big things for God when he has not done a small thing. And God said, let me kill you at the door. And the question is, what if God killed Moses? What would have happened to the children of Israel? Of course, he would have raised someone else to do that job. Praise God. So, you know, sometimes you may still be enjoying some fruit of Christianity, but there is something in your life that God is waiting for you to deal with. Have you heard the word restitution before? Restitution is exactly what Zacchaeus, he said to Jesus, if I have taken anything forcefully from people, I am going to return it four times to them. That's restitution. Now, not returning more than what you have collected, but taking. If I have stolen, I'm going to return what I've... For instance, if the shoe you are wearing, you stole it 2 years ago before you got born again. And now that you are born again, you are still wearing it to church. God expects you to return the shoe to the owner. Praise God. Hello? Are you following me? Now, so many persons, the reason they will not make it to heaven is this thing called restitution. So, you may be born again, but you are still enjoying the benefit of sin. There are some people that are born again, they don't commit fornication, but they still allow their friends to use their houses. Your friend said, I'm going to bring my girl. I say, you know where the key is. Praise God. And then you'll be away for that period. And then after he's through, you come back, take your key, enter your house. And say, God, he... The punishment, every man will bear his own burden. No, you are sharing in that. Praise the Lord. You don't drink, but you can buy alcohol for people. Say, me, I'm not drinking again. I'm born again now. But if you want to take beer, I can buy one for you. Amen. Still using charms to do some things. It's just like benefiting from the benefit of sin. Even though you are born again. Amen. Technology is making sin look like nothing. For instance, if you go on Facebook, there's something that is very common. And it takes you to have the Spirit of God and understand what God is doing and what God is saying and where God is taking you to, so that you don't fall prey of certain things that look simple. In Facebook now, you see some things that will say what you will be in 10 years. And some people will easily click, put their face, or what your face will look like when you are 70. How many of you have seen something like that? Or who you are likely to be, the kind of person you are supposed to be. And you put all the information, and before you know it, they bring something and say, you would have been this, you would have been this. That is consultation with mediums. And you know, some people are enjoying it. Even Christians are buying into it gradually. But that's consultation with mediums. There are people now, even that you can go to, they call it Chinese calendar or whatever, to go and determine the sex of your baby. Or you go and find out what you can do to have a male child. All of those things are in technology. But that is pure consultation of medium. And God was angry with Saul for that. Consulting with medium. It is becoming digital that you don't need to go to shrine again. Right in your door with your phone, you can begin to consult with medium. And you are having interaction with spirits that you don't know nothing about. Praise God. And that's why Christians must be very, very careful so that you don't soil your spirit, you don't contaminate your spirit. People will say, well, it doesn't mean anything. But you need to walk with God to a level that God will tell you this thing is not right. Don't do it. Others may, but don't do it. There are things God has said to me that has shocked me, that for me, I felt it's just okay. I think there's nothing wrong. But God said, this is wrong. And I know the reason why sometimes God is careful to let the leader know so that the leader can be able to let his followers know. Praise God. There's another category of Christian. He's born again, but he's still living in sin. Falling into sexual sin more than once without breaking down, weeping, confessing, and owning up goes beyond a mistake to becoming a lifestyle. Of course, there are some people that are genuinely born again. You know the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ, but you are still living in, the Bible calls it, besetting sins. Those sins that doth easily beset you. You are still living in it. For instance, falling into sexual sin and confessing and falling into it again has gradually become a lifestyle. So you don't have to be confessing one sin every day. Something is wrong with you. Need to deal with it. Oh God, I'm sorry. I messed up this time. And God said, you are forgiven. And 1 week after, you are coming again. Oh God, I messed up again. Will you still forgive me? And God said, don't worry, I'll forgive you. When you come the fighter, even you'll be tired of confessing. And before you know it, you start living in that sin. Because even though God has not exhausted his forgiveness for you, but you will get to a point that you feel so guilty that you don't want to confess it again. And when it comes to that time in your life, that sin has dominion over you. That area you will just be dodging it. That area, you can protect that area. And whenever they talk about it in church, you'll be the person that will show anger. The only fornication in the Bible, every day pastor, they preach fornication. That's the fornicator you're talking now. Praise God. Is it only the thing that he knows how to preach? You know there are members that accuse their pastors. He said that my pastor, every day in a fornication, if you check well, that person is a fornicator. Amen. Because the truth is hitting him, is hitting. So when you come to church and pastor talks about what you have done, God has remembered you. All you just need to do is say, God, you have found me out. I thought I was going to hide, but God, you just discovered me. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it again. Praise God. Are we still together? For this kind, it is either repentance or judgment. It's either you repent or you will soon be judged. And there are some Christians that have come to the point of judgment with God. God said, you have done it and done it. I've forgiven and forgiven. You are still doing it. I will allow it to take you this time. And before you know it, you didn't even have an opportunity to confess it again. If as a believer you can't stop sinning, you may need deliverance. If you don't rise up to seek for help, judgment may just be your next bus stop. If as a believer you keep sinning, you keep doing the same thing. I've had a few persons come to me and say, Daddy, I'm having issues with this. I can't sleep without a woman. I'm having issues with it. And that's somebody genuinely that wants to be free from it. And you know that this is not normal. This is a spirit that must be bound in your life and commanded to leave you. Some of the things we do, we don't have power. You just discover that all the muscles and all the protection you did for yourself didn't work. It just didn't work. And you know that you need special power. Amen. So sometimes you need deliverance. Praise God. There are certain things in your life that you can't afford to keep covering and covering, and you are just going like that. The thing will escort you to hell. That's why the Bible says, confess the truth one to another. So there are some things you need to say, sir, you need to help me. This thing is disturbing me. Let me deal with it once and for all. You don't want to go to hell, or you don't want to be judged. Because if God decides to judge a man, there's no plea for mercy. When God decides judgment, nobody can plead on your behalf and God will hear. No. God will say, the matter is between me and him. The matter is already decided. She will die. He will die. He won't come out of it. Amen. Last but one. The born again Christian who falls into sin, his heart smote him and he repents instantly. This is another group of people in church, somebody who is born again, but he falls into sin, and immediately his heart smotes him, and he repents instantly, making effort never to go near such sin again. Such a person will find mercy. The Bible says, if we confess our sins and forsake them, he is just to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. You see, it is one thing to confess, another to forsake. Sometimes we confess by means of escaping punishment. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. In iniquity did my mother conceive me. In sin did my mother bear me. Forgive me. My sin is as black as scarlet. I'm like a filthy rag before you. You know all the rhetorics. You say it. And as you are just getting up from there, is another one you are going to commit. And come back and say, God, you understand. Praise God. People will go to be baptized. Finish baptism. That Sunday evening, they are celebrating the baptism with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. Praise God. I said, I'm now a brand new man. Come and test what it means to be brand new. That's their celebration now. And God said, what is this? What if I kill this fellow now? Amen. So there are people who are born again, and they commit sin, and immediately their heart will strike them. And they say, Lord, I'm sorry. They don't even get home. Lord, I'm sorry. And you see them make conscious effort not to do that thing again. Don't allow Satan condemn you. You see, there's a difference between sinning and sin. Like I said earlier, tendencies are that the man who is born again can fall into sin. But the sign that is born again is how fast he comes out of that sin and tries his best not to fall into it again. Praise God. You know, in 1 John, John said, I write to you, little children, that you sin not. But if any one of you sin, let him know that he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, our mediator. Now, what that means is, this instruction I'm giving to you is to help you for you not to sin. But in case you sin, don't die there. In case you sin, know that you have somebody who has been employed to talk on your behalf. And so that is the greatest advantage the Christian has. That I've made a mistake and I'm running to my advocate. I said, I'm sorry. You know what the lawyers do? For a lawyer to defend you in the court, he's going to ask you to tell him the truth. True or false. Now, even if you have committed the crime, you will need to tell your lawyer the whole truth. Tell your lawyer, I did it. So that he will know how to defend you. That's what Jesus is. He is our lawyer. Some people pretend a lot when they are confessing their sin. You come there and kneel down. You say, God, you know I'm a sinner. There's no righteous man on earth. God is saying, I know you are a sinner. What kind of sin? It's not every prisoner in the prison that has the same crime. Some is two fighting, landed them in prison. Some of them are kidnappers, landed in prison. Some are armed robbers, landed. Because we are all in prison doesn't mean that we committed the same crime. And it's not every prisoner that has the same sentence. But we may stay in the same prison, but our sentences are different. There are people that are life imprisonment, they will never leave. There are people that are just 6 months in prison. So just enjoy 6 months with me. After 6 months, I'm going. Praise God. So, you don't just come to God and say, God, well, you understand, I'm a sinner, wash my sins and cleanse me. And then you wipe your buttocks and you are going. You are not sinners. You need to tell your lawyer, see what happened. I actually did this. I'm not supposed to have done it. I'm sorry about it. If you give me another chance, I'm not going to sin again. And please, let me say this to you. Don't be amongst those. If you have been doing it before, don't do it. Don't put yourself under an oath. Sometimes because of overzealousness and over-remorseness, if there's anything like that, you come to God and say, Lord, I've seen this sin. The day I sin again, if you forgive me, if I sin again, kill me that day. You are signing your death warrant. You may actually die that day, and it's not God that killed you, it's the devil. So you never tell God and say, God, if I do it again, kill me. Praise God. Some people will say, God, the day you want to see me commit fornication, kill me 2 hours to that day. There are some people that are praying those kind of dangerous prayers. You don't know what life is. God, if I'm going to commit fornication tomorrow, let me die today. No, there's a better way to pray. Praise God. Why didn't you even pray? The person I would have committed fornication would kill the person so that when I go, I will not see the person. I will meet his dead body. And just stay alive a little bit. Praise God. Amen. Oh, say, God, kill every urge in me. That day, let me become impotent for that day. And after that day, I get myself. Praise God. You know, sometimes the reason why people fall into some sin is that there is no voice. No voice. Over time, you have silenced the voice of your conscience. If you keep doing something and God is telling you, don't do it, and you keep doing it, gradually you are going to shut down that voice. And when you no longer have that voice, you can do anything. Lastly, the last category of Christians in the church, the Christian who is currently living right and aligning his ways to the Lord. Such a Christian will enjoy the light of God's countenance and move on to maturity of responding to higher obedience of God's will. He will move from no mistake to pleasing the Father with taking responsibilities and carrying out his will. The Christian that is currently living right and aligning his ways with the laws of God. Such a Christian will enjoy the light of God's countenance. And that's where God wants us to be. You move from no mistake to a place where you can begin to take responsibilities. I know that you know. In case you didn't know, know it. It is possible. Try it. You can live for 1 month without committing sin. You have not lied. You have not committed any sin. You can move it to 2 months. You can move it to 3 months. And you are saying, is it possible? It's possible. Listen to me. When the trumpet will sound, people will go to heaven. And people that will go to heaven are people that have lived righteous. So you can actually be righteous. Don't say it is not possible to live without lying. It's possible to live without lying. Of course. Where are you and you are picking the phone? Well, I am in so-so-so place. Simple as that. You can live. So keep pushing it. Live 1 day without a sin. 2 days, 3 days. Move it to a week. Move it to 1 month, gradually. You are going to begin to mature to a place where mistakes will be very few in your walk with God. Praise God. And as you are reducing the mistake, you are maturing in Christ, and you'll be able to take up bigger responsibilities for God. The Bible says that Jesus is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming for a pure breed. He's coming for people that have made up their mind. I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus, dead come what may. The Holy Spirit I obey. So you make up your mind. I can do this. I can be a Christian in the church that is aligning my way right. Don't be a pretender. That's a category. Don't be the one that falls into sin regularly. That's a category. Be a Christian that has lived his life and Christ is proud of you.